Today my subject is the necessity for godly fathers. The necessity for godly fathers. But before I do that, I have a little story, and I thank you, Gloria, for sending me this story, and I want to tell you about it. I enjoyed it. I thought you'll enjoy it. Gloria, thanks. A little girl ran to her grandfather. Happy Grandfather Day, by the way, okay? I'm one. She ran to her grandfather, jumped into his arms, and gave him a great hug. Then she ran her fingers along his balding head and down the side of his wrinkled face, and she asked this question: did God make you Grandpa? Yes, honey, he made me. She felt her own cheeks and then asked, did God made me? And he answered, yes, honey, he made you. Well, she shrugged. Don't you think he is doing a better job now than he used to be? Thank you, Gloria. I thought of telling you this. One thing I'm going to speak, the need, especially in our land, for godly fathers. We have so many fathers away today. May God bless them. They're celebrating. And I'm going to talk to all of us. And as we look at our world today, we heard something mentioned by the doctor. We see deterioration on every side. You agree with that? We see that people who once had deep convictions concerning right and wrong have yielded to compromise and sacrifice principles. Years ago, an ancient philosopher was walking through the streets of his city with a tavern. Someone asked him what he was doing. He replied, I'm looking for an honest man, a godly man. And today, I can say, thank God for all the men we have and all the fathers. But look with me at outside and look at our nations. Look at the men and the women. We question, is this how we used to be 50 years ago, 60 years ago, 70 years ago? Is this the place, the country that our forefathers put all the foundations for? And this is when I was preparing this, I said, we need godly men. It's time to stand up, you men, and show what godliness is, what being faithful at home is, what being loving toward your children is. It's time. It's time when I see school children, when I see young men just on the streets, instead of being at college or behind and in their schools, they're not. Why? Where is the family? Where is the foundation? And I looked and checked and studied and watched the news to formulate an opinion what's happening today. Fatherhood is almost gone. Why? Because our foundation is gone. And the foundation, long time ago, was the family was based on the Word of God. Without the Word of God as a foundation at home, men and women, family will disintegrate and each one will go away his own way. And I was looking at our church, and you know what I found? That we have, thank God, we have people in our church that they've been walking with God for three generations. Three. Mike, you're one of them. Kathy, you have four generations. Your mom, yourself, your daughters, and granddaughters. They're at church. This is why I said I'm going to speak to all men and women today. This is truly Father's Day, but we need fathers who have conviction. Fathers who need to take a stand. Fathers who need to be loyal to their family and to their wives. Fathers who bring their children to church. Few years ago, I read a title. On Sunday morning, fathers, where are your children? I'm glad to say, on Sunday morning, the children, your children, I'm addressing each and every one. I thank God for you. Your children are upstairs. Where's upstairs? It's upstairs. Sunday school. Where are your children? You can stand up and say, they are at Sunday school. Or they are ministering here. Or they are teachings up there. To those who do not know, we have a large Sunday school. I sometimes say, where's half the church? And I smile. Okay, because the children are learning about Jesus Christ from they were young. 2 weeks ago, I met in the hallway. He's a cute boy, Micah. He was with his dad. With one hand, he has a bagel full of cheese, and he's chewing. I said, hey, Micah, I heard you go to Sunday school nowadays.
Yep.
Okay, Micah, what did you learn? Singing. Enough. That was enough for me. You know, the very first thing I'm talking about when I was 3 years old, you can gather, it's about 90 years ago. We used to say to go to Sunday school. You know what I learned? Do you still singing B-I-B-L-E? Do you? That's an old song. My days. Do you still sing Jesus Loves Me, This I Know? Amazing. Amazing. I remember them. I grew up on them. And guess what? When I grew up a Christian man. Where are your children this morning, men and women, mothers and fathers, where are they? Thank God, they're upstairs. Or some of them are here. Some of them are in the back. And thank God for you. Thank God for you. Congratulations. You have done a great job and continue doing it. Christian people nowadays have become discouraged. Don't. because they have looked to leaders and have been disappointed. Instead of integrity, what we find nowadays, we have seen dishonesty. We need men with character who will not be swayed by the desire for gain or notoriety. In the home, we need fathers who have convictions. They are concerned. They want to instill in their children the love of God. I remember when on Sunday morning, my dad and mom, my dad says, time to go to church. And we didn't have a car. We used to walk to church and sit down and watch the breaking of bread passing by and listen to the songs and then come home. We got used to go to church. And when I grew up, I made it a point that I said, Sylvia, we have to raise our kids the way the Lord has taught us. And we started bringing them to Sunday school and to church. We did not send them to Sunday school. We came with them to church to set an example for them. And you know what? Thank you for coming on time. And I make sure to come before time to Sunday school and to church. And Shelley asked me, what time tomorrow? We decided on that many years ago, 7:30. 7:30 we get up, get dressed, prepare the children, and come to church. Oh, and you know, this will carry on. I mentioned we have some generations here. I mentioned that, and I want to share with you a story so I can encourage the men, especially, and the mothers. The message is for you both, and this is it. And the title of this is The Third and Fourth Generation. Max Jukes, it's a true story. In New York, he did not believe in Christ or in Christian training. He refused to take his children to church or Sunday school. Even when they asked him to go, he has had 1,026 descendants over the years. 300 were sent to prison for an average term of 13 years. 190 were public prostitutes. 680 were admitted alcoholics. His family thus far has cost the state at that time $420,000. They made no contribution to society. No Christ, no life, no family, no society, no nation. On the other hand, Jonathan Edwards, some of you older people, you know who he is, lived in the same state at the same time as Jukes. He loved the Lord and saw that his children were in church every Sunday. As he served the Lord to the best of his ability, he has had 929 descendants. And of these, 430 were ministers. 86 became university professors. 13 became university presidents. 75 authored good books. 7 were elected to the United States Congress. One was vice president of his nation. His family never cost the state one cent, but has contributed immeasurably to the life of plenty in this land today. Come to church. Fathers, regardless, so many families, so many fathers and mothers are looking for their teenage children today. And they're not with them. They're home. They don't know where they are. They're having fun for now. But fun later on will not pay off. Start your day on Sunday by coming to church. Men, thank you for doing this. And women, thank you for raising this new generation. It's not Mother's Day, but I have to address you. Thank you for doing that. I read a great writer, Christian writer, his name, John Drakeford. And he had so many books. He dedicated one of his books. He says, to my two sons, Warwick and Brenton, teachers in the art of family living. In other words, they taught him a lot while he was and his wife raising them, who in the process have put the gray hairs in my head. Bills in my pocket. Illustrations in my sermons, happiness in my home, and pride in my heart. Raising children is not easy, but if you raise them according to the Lord's word, what it says, and you know it, I repeat it almost every year. And I wrote it here, so I will misquote it. Train a child. Raise up a child. Bring up a child in the way that he should go. And when he grows up, what happens? He will not depart from it. You'll see your teenagers sitting by on your side. There, in the bench, by your side, sitting and singing, and you look and your heart is happy because you have trained them and brought them and took them to Sunday school, and you were a blessing, and they will never forget it. But how not to do that? I read something that happened in Texas. The sheriff's office in a Texas city, once he looked at the society and the community around him, and he was so alarmed. So he did distribute a list of rules titled, How to Raise a Juvenile Delinquent in Your Family. You ready for this? Begin with infancy to give that child everything he wants. This will ensure his believing that the world owes him a living. Two, pick up everything he leaves lying around. This will teach him he can always throw off responsibilities on others. Three, there are only 4 points. Take his part against neighbors, teachers, policemen. They are all prejudiced against your child. He is a free spirit and never wrong. Finally, number four. That was a true thing there. Number four, Alan. Finally, prepare yourself for a life of grief. you're going to have it. That was done. Any nice city in Texas, I think our society needs a sheriff like that now. In our church, we don't have this. We have children who love the Lord because they were trained from their little childhood. Train a child in the way he should go. God, we said, is looking for men of integrity, of conviction. And another point I want to bring, God is looking for men of compassion and open-minded. Men, you be careful. You be careful. I'm here, I'm coming with it. Webster's dictionary quotes the Bible. I looked for what's compassion. I want some words, okay? But Webster said, well, look at Jesus. Webster, he being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity. Forgiving. And it's to show mercy. Having a heart that is tender and easily moved by the infirmities of others. Listen, to be strong and uncompromising is not enough. However, to make an ideal father, we need men who are tender and compassionate. Not dictatorships. Yeah. The Lord says, I have the authority. No. We grew up thinking that men should be put on a strong facade. During my days, John Wayne. During your days, I don't know who's the hero who is so strong today, but this is it. Otherwise, people think you are weak. On the contrary, it takes strength of character to be kind and unselfish. Jesus was the most manly person who ever lived, and yet he also knew how to enter into the sorrows and infirmities of others and share their griefs. The Bible tells us so, and read your Bible, you will see it. At one occasion, he stood before Lazarus' tomb and wept. Men don't cry. Wrong. Men are human beings. They have tender hearts. They have compassion. Don't hide it, men. Show it. And it's not wrong, but you show character. You show character. Edward Young once said, shun the proud that is ashamed to weep. And another man of God by the name of Edmund Burke said that next to love, sympathy is the divinest passion of the human heart. Don't hide your heart. Be compassionate and open-minded. Thank God for godly women who are standing by your side, who support you, who love you. Love them. Be faithful to your wives. And remember, God gave you that the wife, that partner to live with you forever. The problem with our society is divorces, fathers and mothers, they grow apart, and divorces has taken over 50%. It's happening in our nation today. Not here. When you say, in front of me here, until death do us part, until death do us part. You mean it? Live with it. Men, you are the men of now, and your children are looking at you. They will be the men and women of the future. If we live and the Lord doesn't tarry, the men of our church today will see 2-3 generations. How would you like to see them? And when men talk to me, I said, listen, man, keep studying, keep growing, keep standing. You are the future. You are, and I say now, you are now and you are the future. Keep going further. One of the saddest sight to behold is a man who thinks that he knows everything and need to learn anything. Someone wrote, such men are prisoners within the walls of their ignorance. A real man is always willing to consider the possibility that there is some truth he has not yet discovered. Looking at himself says, I could be wrong. Looking at your wife, look at your wife. What do you think? And nicely with, well, hey, you're wrong. Ooh, wrong? I'm never wrong. Yeah. Learn to say I'm sorry and correct things and live for God. It takes a great man to say I'm sorry. In my opinion, this is the noblest statement ever to fall from the lips of a godly man. Time is up. We are living in a world. Conclusion. We're living in a world of uncertainties, filled with hatred and fear. We are challenged to radiate the peace and confidence that we receive from Jesus Christ when we accepted him as Savior. I want to thank God for our men in this church and their wives. I want to thank you, women. It's not Mother's Day, but it's your day also. It's the day of the family. I look at the families. I know that you have taken up your responsibilities direct from God, and you and your wives are serving the Lord in totally different capacities. Just one look at Sunday school, and I say, praise God for the wonderful upbringing and investments you and your wives have done. Please accept my thanks. Bless you. And keep up the good work. And guess what? I say with Billy Graham, after people used to come front and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you know what he used to tell them? I still remember it. And come to church on Sunday. And come to church on Sunday. Don't miss, regardless, your work, give the preeminence to God. Give him the priority. He will double your work. And come and talk to me about that. He will double your happiness. He will give you a life. Your joy will be unexplainable. Give God the priority. Men and women, let's honor God by giving him all ourselves and live a life worthy of Jesus' calling. Amen. Have a happy Father's Day and a happy women. What do you call this today? Happy Mother's Day too. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for giving us the opportunity to come and share a few words. And we humbly bow before you, saying everything comes from you. Every good things that we have, you have given us. You have given us all kind of things. Help us, Lord, at least to give you ourselves, to give you our children, to give you our time, to give you everything we have, and help us to be good fathers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Time to go and celebrate Father's Day, and I thank you for listening to me, and again, happy Father's Day.